Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
What up, what up, and welcome to the Triple Threat Podcast. I am DJ Shockley. Again, joining me is my man Scotty D on the other side of the mic, and lots to talk about in the world of sports. I got a great question for Scotty D today. I can't wait to get it. It's a little riddle, but hopefully it don't take him too long to get it. My man Jesse Tuggle is back again for part two, where he'll drop even more great things on us and just see where his life is at today. But let's talk a little college football, jump into some of the things that are going on. So many things are going on in college football right now. The SEC came out and talked about the start of their preseason camp, going to start August 17th. The Big Ten schedule is out. They're starting their season September 3rd. But the commissioner of the Big Ten, Kevin Lawrence, came out and said, there's a caveat. Yeah, we have a date, but that doesn't mean we will start or play on that particular date. But nonetheless, the Big Ten schedule is out. Other big news around the country, UConn canceled its season. The first FBS program to opt out of the 2020 season. And when I went back and looked at some of the things that were going on at UConn, maybe they had a bunch of tests. Maybe they had a bunch of guys that were tested negative. Maybe they had some things going on campus. Maybe they just weren't sure. But this is a school that this year was expected to play as the independent. But you went back and I looked at it, said no student athletes had been tested positive for COVID-19 since early July. So that wasn't a big part of it. But Scotty D, one thing I look at when I saw this was it looked like everybody was all on board, players, coaches, administration, everybody was cool with them canceling their season. What do you think about UConn, first off, canceling their season? And do you think there will be other schools to follow now that a FBS program like UConn said, hey, we're not going to do it?
Yeah, I got to believe that there will be others. You know, this is just the first domino to fall. But I'm trying to look at, you know, pro leagues to see, kind of extrapolate that out to college football.
Yeah.
In baseball, you got the Marlins shut down for a little bit. Now you got the Cardinals shut down for a little bit.
Right.
And frankly, with their roster size, I feel like they were prepared for something like that. But at the same time, you gotta shut things down and get everybody clean. So that being said, I think we'll see other programs shut down for the year. One thing that I think is we have to really think about is their independent status. Their season may be going away because all these teams are only going to play conference games. So,
right.
So they may have just a handful of games with probably other independents.
True.
That are even going to be available to them.
But here's my other question is how much of this is money driven by college football? How much of this is we have to make money for our schools, you got to make money for our programs, why a lot of schools are saying they're still going to play?
Yeah, I would say that that's the case for every other school except UConn right
yeah.
now, because UConn, this is how I feel, is that they probably don't see enough benefit from for the money they will get. They're not going to, I can't see that they could play a full season if
yeah.
no other conferences are going to play outside of their conference.
Right.
So I'm wondering if they just don't think that the risk is worth the reward if they can't, you know, get a full slate of games.
Yeah, and other news about the Big Ten, obviously the Michigan-Ohio State game we talked about is going to be moved up to October 24th. There are a lot of other rivalry games in the Big Ten, like Indiana-Purdue. Those games are going to be moved up as well. So that's another conversation I think people in that area definitely want to talk about when it comes to Big Ten football. And also, Pac-12 came out earlier in the week. Big Ten now has joined it. All those players, not all of them, but a lot of the players in those particular conferences have formed unity groups, and they have list of demands. Pac-12 players are talking about sitting out the entire season. Now Big Ten has come in, and they form some of their different programs. And one guy who has already said he's opting out is Minnesota receiver Rashad Bateman. He's a potential first-rounder, big receiver from Minnesota, big-time player. Last year he had 60 receptions for 1,200 yards, 11 TDs. This guy averaged 20 yards a catch. Now, imagine one of a high-profile player like him in mm-hmm. college football saying he's opting out.
Yeah.
How many other players will fall suit, you think, after watching a guy like that, who, of course, looks like he has NFL talent and will be making it to the NFL.
Yeah.
But do you see other guys possibly doing this, even if they don't have maybe the talent to make it to the National Football League.
Yeah, I think you could see. I don't think it's going to be a landslide of players doing this, though, because I think what you may see more of, or at least the thought process of more players, will be, hey, I can improve my draft status if some of these top guys aren't going to play.
Right.
If I'm a second-round guy, if I'm projected second round and I want to be a first round, I can go out. I need to go out there and ball out and you know, improve my status.
Right. So one big time player already opting out of college football. I just brought up Pac-12 players and Big Ten players form unity groups, and the Big Ten came out and they had their list of demands that they proposed to everybody. And one is they want a mandate for athletics personnel to report suspected violations. They want whistleblower protection for athletic personnel and college athletes reporting a suspected violation. They want to ban the use of the COVID-19 liability waivers. Scotty, we were talking about this before. I know that was something that was kind of strong for you. Don't think that will happen. They also want to have third-party approved by players administer COVID-19 testing and enforce all those safety standards. And they also want to preserve athletic eligibility, scholarship, roster spot for any player who opts out of athletic participation or is unable to play more than 40% of their scheduled season due to COVID-19. And they also want coverage for all out-of-pocket medical expenses related to COVID-19. Now, the Big Ten, a lot of their demands had to deal with COVID-19. Mm-hmm. Pac-12 earlier, they wanted a little bit more. They wanted revenue sharing. They wanted all kind of other things along with the COVID-19 testing. But what do you think of some of these demands of some of these players? And personally, I commend these guys because they're stepping up. They're using their voice. And if any time in the world, any time in the place where we're at right now where these college athletes can use their voice is right now. Because I remember when I was coming out, there's no way I thought about kind of going against my coaches or going against NCAA with fear of possibly, one, not playing, losing playing time, losing your scholarship. All that kind of stuff went into my mind. But now in the day and age we are in now, I think now I give these guys a lot of credit and a lot of kudos for stepping up to the plate and saying, I'm not going to live for this. Yeah. I'm not going to put myself in jeopardy to play football, which is a sport that I love. Most of these guys are probably in positions where they're looking to play in the National Football League. Or I went back to, what if this was my senior year where this was my first chance to start?
Yeah.
How would I feel?
You know what that's like?
Do I want to be one of those guys that said, man, I want to sit out because I want to worry about these different issues that are going on? Or do I say, hey, this is my first time. This is my chance to play major college football. So there are a lot of decisions for these guys, but I commend a lot of these guys for stepping up to the plate and saying, I want some change.
That's real similar to what we were talking about a couple weeks ago about the NFL players opting out. That it was surprising to me that, you know, names that I wasn't as familiar with were doing that. And we talked about how if you're going to be out, if you're going to be away from your team and the schedule's and the team's going to move on, you're giving somebody the opportunity, and that's, I think, what you're speaking to. But, you know, there's – I commend them because in the Pac-12, there's some social things they had in their demands as well, and I commend them for that. I think it's an onion with a lot of layers, but
for sure.
I think that they should also be compensated. But, again, I know there's a lot of nuance to that. However, that waiver ain't going to happen. If you're going to choose to play, you are not going to get – university, NCAA, whoever, to not make you sign a waiver that will allow you to sue them.
Right. You can't sign it and go back and say,
A lot of the other stuff I think is cool. I think it's good. I think that they're taking their cue from pro athletes.
Yeah.
You hear a lot more out of pro athletes nowadays as far as, taking a stand, using their platform, using their exposure.
So it's going to be interesting to see how this all plays out. Obviously, the season is almost a month away, and we talked about Big Ten, the Pac-12, the SEC, everybody looking to start their own conference schedules and get to playing. And we got to see how everything shakes out with COVID-19. So good luck to all those college players who are out there and are standing their ground. So I respect that. All right, let's move on to the National Football League, where today is the day where the opt-out deadline is. Thursday at 4 p.m. is the opt-out deadline for all NFL players. The Dolphins had two of their top receivers early this week opt out. Albert Wilson and Allen Hurns, two of their top receivers, opted out. And now that brings the total to more than 50 players who have opted out the season. And we talked about it last week, the amount of money you can you can potentially gain if you opt out by if it's high risk or not high risk. So a lot of players are weighing that option. But today is that deadline, Thursday, 4 p.m., for NFL players to opt out. One player who I thought, who earlier in probably a couple months ago, back in April, Von Miller had contacted Virus back in April. And he came out and said he was a player who thought about opting out because, for one, he has asthma. Mm-hmm. Another part of it is he continually has to use an inhaler in practice and during games. And, you know, he lives in a place where you need that inhaler pretty much. But to hear a high-profile guy, we just talked about the kid from Minnesota, big-time receiver looking to play in the National Football League. Now you got another big-time player, Von Miller, who has thought about opting out. Mm-hmm. If a guy like that opts out, I think that opens it up for other major big-time players in the National Football League to opt out. Von Miller said he lost 15 pounds from the virus. He said he felt effects after it, even 2-3 weeks after the negative test. Mm-hmm. He felt effects of the virus, and he said he lost taste and smell and his appetite during that time and still has some issues with it. So a lot of guys opting out. I think we're seeing more and more guys opt out. It's going to be interesting to see how that pans out as well.
Well, we'll know at the end of the day, I guess, right?
Yeah, we will. Another guy who I know pretty well, I know people here in Georgia know him pretty well, Matthew Stafford, earlier this week, had a little controversy of his own, had a false positive test. He was on the COVID-19 list on Tuesday, but now he's back on the active roster because of the false positive test. His wife came out and had a heartfelt post on Instagram where she talked about how the school told them their kids couldn't come. People were coming up to her in the grocery store saying she was being irresponsible. So she was getting attacked from so many ways. Her kids were being mean to her kids on the playground. But now it comes out he had a false positive test, and he's had 3 negative tests since then. So a lot of things have happened with Matthew Stafford, with his family, and now a lot of guys are coming to his defense. And Detroit Lions had 8 guys who were on that COVID-19 kind of reserve list. Isaac Nauta was another Georgia guy who was on that list, but now is off. T.J. Hockenson, Kenny Galladay, 2 players for the
nobody
Detroit
to catch
Lions.
The ball.
So it'll be interesting to see what happens with that situation in Detroit. But Matthew Stafford went through a lot of things this past week with that false positive test. And he's probably one of many that we haven't heard of, but he's one that has brought a light to it because of him being a quarterback and being one of the faces of the National Football League. Other news, golf this week. PGA Championship starts today. Tiger, Rory, JT in the same group going off early this morning, afternoon on Friday, so that gives Tiger enough chance to really get his body ready to go for the Friday breakthrough. Scotty D, I know you had a little bet you wanted to throw out for the two of us, but I'm looking forward to watching Tiger go at it again this week. PGA Championship at Harding Park. We're both avid golf lovers. We both love golf, so I think will be one of the great pairings with Tiger, Rory, and JT together. JT coming off the big win. Rory, a face of golf, and we know what Tiger has done over his time. So looking forward to watching some golf this weekend and see if, you know, Tiger could possibly compete this week in the PGA Championship.
Yeah, there's a lot of unknowns, I think. Rory has not been strong.
Yeah.
Tiger looked horrible his first time back out, and he didn't play last week, which people made a big deal out of, but he historically doesn't play the week before a major. So it'll be interesting if he can come back. And then you got guys like DeChambeau, John Rahm, who've looked rocky lately, but they're all, you know, those are all, other than Tiger, those are all top 10 guys. So it's going to be interesting.
Right.
But, yeah, so I think let's pick two golfers, and whoever's two golfers do the best, we'll figure out some kind of penalty for the loser.
All right, cool.
It'll probably be Georgia-Florida related.
Woo! There you go. You said it the right way, too. I'm proud of you, Scotty D, man. Good job. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. All right, so I guess I get the first pick, right? Is that right?
Yeah,
I'll pick
the next two.
Okay, so with my first pick, I'm going to go with Brooks Koepka.
Wow.
Yes. I'm going with Brooks, and here's why. Brooks hasn't played well. He's had the knee. He hasn't been as good as the Brooks Koepka. But one thing you know, Brooks shows up for the championship.
He looked good last week.
He plays he did good in the big time tournaments, and I'd like Brooks to step up this week. So I'm always giving Brooks a chance in there. He's a hot headed guy, but this guy can hit it with the best of them, and he's gonna be fiery. And he plays good in the championship, so he's going with Brooks.
He's one of my favorite golfers.
Brooks is my first pick.
I like guys that that don't care what other people think
at all.
Yeah. So well. The reason that's why I kind of wanted you to go first, because yeah. I was hoping it would put me in a good spot. So I'm going to take JT.
Justin Thomas?
Yeah.
And he's going to be emotionally drained at the last week, man. That big win last week, you know. Major. Okay. So you got JT, Brooks. I got Brooks. You got JT. Okay. Who's your third pick?
I'm going to take – I'm going to butcher his name. I never say it right. Xander Schauffele.
Schauffele. Okay, I like Xander.
I always say it wrong.
Xander Schauffele. Like Xander. Xander's a good player, man. Xander's like a consistent dude, too, man. Mm-hmm. Dad's just coaching, all that kind of stuff. So that leaves me with a bunch of guys. I went back and forth on my man Finau. I went back and forth with Dustin. But I'm going to ride with a guy who can fit the golf ball on any course. It looks different, but I'm going to go with my Georgia guy. I'm going Bubba.
Oh, okay. Bubba. I thought you were going with somebody else, but okay. I thought you were going with Kisner.
I like Kisner, too. Kisner's my dude, too. But I'm going with Bubba this week. Bubba. I'm going to go with the lefty.
All right.
Bubba's going to be in contention for sure. So I got Bubba and Brooks, two guys who are going to battle and scrap and fight. You got JT and Xander, so we'll see what happens next week, and we'll come up with something pretty cool.
Yeah, we got to figure out how we're going to gator shame you.
All right. Before we get to my man JT, I always give Scotty D a tricky question or something that makes him think a little bit. But this is just a simple riddle. I'm going to give you a little time to think about it, and we'll see how well you do it. All right. All right. Here's the question. If your mom had four kids, okay, and their names was North, East, and South, what's the name of the last kid? Yeah, let's think about it. If your mom had four kids, their name is North, South, and East. So you're already overthinking it. If you guys can see Scotty D right now, he is deep in thought, and he's overthinking it. I'm telling you right now. Yeah, buddy. It's a good riddle, man.
So we don't have to people sit here and sit here for 10 minutes while I think more about this and still don't come with an answer. I'm going to say West.
Okay. So
but I know that's not right.
You know, no, it's not right. So if your mom had four kids, North, South, and East, what's the last kid's name? I wonder how many people have it right now. I wonder how many people are yelling it right now.
Oh, Scott.
You got it, man. Yeah. So you missed the most critical point was your mom.
Thank God she named me Scott.
See, that was simple, right? That wasn't too crazy, was it?
Yeah.
It made you overthink a little bit, but it was pretty simple though. Yep. So, all right, man. The first time somebody told me that too, it got me too. So I ain't gonna lie, it took me a little bit. All right, man. Looking forward to this next conversation, man. You guys, sit down, get some popcorn, listen to my guy, Jesse Tuggle.
Because, you know, it's more than just catch, run, and tackle, right? It's a lot goes into it. But that's what makes football so great, though. And another thing I think what makes it the world one of the world's best games, if not the best game in the world, is because, man, it's a game, it's a team sport. You know, it's such a team sport. You know, you're only as strong as the weakest link. And not one person that's gonna win or lose a game for you. You know what I mean? So I guess I call it
you're right, it is. I mean, you learn so many lessons playing football and playing the team sport, and that's kind of, you know, where I want to go next. It's, well, you had a 14-year career, you mentioned that, but you talked about Bob Whitfield. You played with some characters during your time. I mean, you had Brett Favre come through there. You had Deion Sanders on your team. I mean, talk about some of the characters on those teams and what it was like in those locker rooms or on those practice fields with those type of dudes and that competition level week in and week out.
I think that's the coolest part about being a professional athlete.
Yeah.
Oh, and Jerry Glanville? Man, I tell you what, we had some characters, man. It started off with I mentioned his name before, Joel Williams, who's always every day at practice, he'd give me a hard time. Every day. But he didn't know that I learned so much from him because he used to study tapes and break down film, and so I watched him. But you know, a lot of your listener might not even know Joel, but mm-hmm. you Google him, you'll see his career. It started out with him. Okay, then you know, I got other like some high profile right. characters come in. Andre Rison, unbelievable. You know, who was he was dating one of the TLC group, and that was pretty cool. Yeah, Left Eye. They used to be at practice
so TLC
a lot and all
just
that.
At practice,
so I thought that was pretty
out.
Cool. And then just hanging out, man, which is so cool. Then Jerry Glanville became our coach, and Jerry made it unbelievably unreal for everybody. Man, we used to have
MC
so many
Hammer.
Country music singers at practice. But not only that, then he'll bring the rappers in. MC Hammer used to be there all the time. And this when MC Hammer was huge.
That's
what I mean?
That's when you and him used to walk around with those big old baggy pants, wasn't it?
Yes.
Jesse, I know you had a pal.
I had them. Listen, I remember a time when before the internet and before, everybody had smartphones, everybody used to want to watch MTV, music television. And so MC Hammer coming out of the locker room and say, hey, guys, I got a new video out that's going to be playing on MTV, but I'll let y'all see it first. And then he stopped, everybody in the locker room would stop and gather around the 60-inch TV. Put in the VCR.
Can't even find a VCR these days, can you?
It is. And that's what I'm trying to tell you. And we will all sit back and say, man, that is so cool. And then you go home, and the next couple of weeks, you start watching MTV, and you say, dang, man, I saw that video ever before it even came out. You know what I mean? And I thought that was cool. And MC Hammer and Dion had a relationship where they were like best friends, man. So he's been in the locker room, And that was so cool. But then to top it all off, that we live here in Atlanta, so you got a lot of stars here. I remember when Evander Holyfield was the world champion, the biggest name in boxing other than Mike Tyson. And man, he'd be right on the bus with us. Then he would be in the locker room with us, And then he talked about fighting Mike Tyson. And then you see all these guys, you're like, man, there are so many celebrities here. It's unbelievable. But how we attracted they're attracted to football. What I mean? So they wanted to come and hang out with us. And I think that what made that sport so cool. And I don't know if you remember the TV show called In the Heat of the Night. Okay, I can remember, that show was so popular at one point here in Georgia. It was filmed in Georgia. And I don't know if you remember the police officer they used to call, his nickname was Bubba on the show. He used to come to our practices, and he said, yeah, man, I was a high school quarterback. So one day Jerry Glanville said, what? You're a high school quarterback? Okay, get in there. Stop the whole practice. Let this dude walk on the center. Let him walk on the center. And he's out there calling cadence and calling plays and throwing the ball. This is so crazy. So I think with pro football, there's a lot of gags and a lot of stuff that happens that makes it fun because, we all grown men playing a kid sport, and we keep it. You got to have fun. You got to have fun with it. And so we had a lot of fun with that. And so those are some top names that came through and made it pretty special, man, for everybody. And I thought that part was real cool.
Your career speaks for itself, man. Played in over 200 games, over 1,600 tackles, 14-year career. You voted into the Atlanta Ring of Honor. You got your jersey retired in college at Valdosta State, where you were number 88. We got to talk about that. I don't know how you wore 88 at linebacker. That don't make no sense to me. But Falcons retired your jersey. But just talk about towards the end of your career, obviously you had, been to the Pro Bowl 5 times. You had tons of success. Ultimately, what was the deciding factor in saying, okay, I'm going to hang it up now?
The way I came into the league and I would have never thought I would have accomplished all the things that all the accolades you just mentioned, coming into this league and coming from Griffin, Georgia, going to Valdosta State, which is in South Georgia, then playing for my favorite home team, the Atlanta Falcons. It's like a dream come true, because you grew up right here in Georgia. You watched the Atlanta Falcons play, and you played at Georgia. You played for the Falcons. It's just something special about being that true Georgia boy that played all the sports here. And so I thought that was real cool. And then the years went on. Year 5, then year 10. I'm like, man, 10 years, I'm still playing. And then I was turning 35 years old and going into my last year. And I was a little beat up and had a bad knee and a broken thumb and a beat up shoulder, you know, after 1,700 tackles. You know what I mean? Because those are, you know, 1,600 is my official tackles, but my total tackles I had in the whole career were 2,065. So what happened was, you know, my body was beat up. You know, I had a lot of fun playing, and then it would have been my 15th year, and Keith Brookin was a rising next star coming up. And so at that point, either I go to training camp when I got injured, hurt my knee again in training camp, broke my thumb. So it was tough to start the season off injured. And, you know, so at that point, you know, Dan Reed came to me and said, "Just want you to retire." At that time, I wasn't really ready to retire yet. But I'm so glad I did, though. But, you know, I probably would not have made it through the season. And I didn't want any anything to capture all the good things that I accomplished throughout a 14-year career to say I'm mad because they want me to retire in my 15th year. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to roll with the punches this year. And I had a ball. I had a blast. I got a chance to play in the Super Bowl. And I can remember when we lost the Super Bowl, but we're still NFC champions. The next year we went to training camp. Dan Reeves was in training camp. He said, "Listen, before you know how you get the rings the year after." So in 1999, he said, "Listen, I want to get a ring to the person who built his team far longer than anyone and worked harder than anyone, a 5-time Pro Bowler." And he always wanted to play in the Super Bowl. And Jesse, come and get your ring. And I thought that was pretty cool. You know, he gave me my ring first out of anybody else. So you know, looking back at those days, man, you learn to appreciate all of it. And then, like everybody, you know, everybody want to walk away on their own terms. And because one day pro sports is going to end for every athlete that's playing. And some get doing their own terms, some don't. I don't feel like I did on my own terms, but at the same time, I wasn't mad either. So it turned out it would have been my 15th year. And then I was just fortunate enough to walk away. And, you know, and look, at that point, DJ, I thought I was still young. So I was 35.
Still young in the other day. I didn't have a great hair in football. Who was the toughest guy to tackle? You had 2,000 tackles, but I'm sure there was a couple that you said, "Oh man, he made me look bad on tape."
Listen, you know, the toughest guy to tackle in the world to me, it wasn't because he was 240 pounds or 250 or 6'1" or 6'2". Probably got who 5'7" and weighed about maybe 190.
I knew it. You had to be the toughest.
Listen, Barry was the toughest guy to tackle than any athlete I ever played against on any level. And when you're talking about a guy who was special to the game, special individual, you know, he retired early, but I think he would have had the all-time rushing record if he would have played long enough. But, you know, Emmitt Smith still was tough, too, now. I played against, I was fortunate enough to play against so many guys, particularly a lot of Hall of Famers, guys who recently went to Hall of Fame and all this. And I look at the guys, and I played against all those guys. And I would think if I had to pick one guy or the top, all the backs from Emmitt Smith to Thurman Thomas to just so many, Eric Dickerson, Bettis, and all them back. I don't care. Listen, I'll say Barry Sutter was the toughest
pound for pound.
Toughest back I ever had to go against a tackle. Pound for pound, unbelievable. I remember one play in particular where it was in Detroit, and I had got a good read, man. I beat the center so quick. I'm in the backfield about to hit Barry for a 1-yard loss. He throws a move on me so quick, man. You remember they always played with one back. So he put a move on me so quick. So I fell to the ground. I looked up. And I looked up, and I'm at the back looking at his back making the move. I see him.
So y'all gonna be on this tape too, huh?
Then I get up off the ground. I get up off the ground and run and make the tackle for the back. He was making that many guys out. I was like, unbelievable.
Yeah,
like
very tough, man.
So he was a special athlete. And that's so cool to, you know, have those type of memories against so many players that are truly Hall of Famers and change the game, you know. So, you know, those memories will last a lifetime.
Jason, we talked about some of the injuries you had. You talked about, you know, towards your last year, you had 3-4 different injuries. I've seen you the past couple of years. You just had a knee replacement. And obviously you had all those tackles, you know, constantly pounding. Now in the day and age where everybody's talking about concussions, everybody's talking about, I don't know if I want my son to play football. How are you doing physically, and how are you doing mentally as well? I mean, as we talk to you now, I mean, you're sharp as a tack, but I know because of all the things you've gone through, obviously the physical elements are there, but how are you physically and mentally, you know, this many years removed from the game?
You know what? I'm 55 years old, and I can complain a lot. Obviously, you know, being an ex-athlete, I got a lot of bumps and bruises, and you know, you're dealing with the concussions and stuff, and you have some memory loss there. And the physically, you know, I still got a bad shoulder, and I got arthritis in my thumb and my knees. And
two years ago,
you know, you saw me when I was going through that knee replacement, and then I had a staph infection, almost lost my leg. So, it took me, normally take 2 or 3 months to recover from a knee replacement. It took me almost 16 months. You know what I mean? Wow. It took almost a year and a half, and it was unbelievable.
Wow.
And, but made it through that. So as you get older, you know, you get the bumps and bruises from the game. But if you ask me, or you ask any athlete who played, would you change anything? Would you not play? So I tell all the parents right here, you know, you can get hurt and damaged in anything in life, you know what I mean? But if you got a passion to play a sport, you know, don't live in regret and say, I should have, would have, could have. When you have an opportunity and your kid got an opportunity, and the game is getting safer, but the competitive nature of the game, you know, is not only going to help him on the playing field, but it's going to help him away from the playing field as well.
Right.
Now, this is the ultimate team sport. You know, no matter if you go in business, it's a team effort.
Right.
What you do right now, with everything you learned from being a quarterback, this thing, how much leadership and how much for your career is right now, and how much you learned from high school to college to the pros, just being a quarterback, you know, being the leader of young men, and you know, in the huddle, it's so much goes into it that that I don't. If a person had an opportunity to do it, I wouldn't want to miss out.
Awesome.
And so a parent gotta look at the big spectrum of the whole thing and say, you know, it is tough. If I worry about each and everything, it's just like when your kid first get his driver license, you're like, man, if it was a parent, she's like, I don't want my child to ever drive. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's not realistic.
Right.
You know, so
So
it's just that you got to be, you know, you teach them the safety part of the game. And I think when you learn early, and you know how DJ, if you learn the game early, you know how to protect yourself, right?
Right.
You learn how to protect yourself early. And that, and those lessons, and like anything, any other sports, once you put those years in, you know, you can't, if a person, say, at 10 years old, he wanted to start playing when he was 15, those 5 years, you can't make them 5 years back up. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So because you learn so much each and every year. So start early so they can learn it, you know, whether it's baseball, football, basketball, any other sport, they'll start early. And then all of a sudden, by the time they're in high school, you'll know, and they would know whether they want to have an opportunity to play in college or not. But even if the kids all the athletes who never played in college, not only in NFL, but in college, that experience in high school, that memory lasts a lifetime.
Right.
Right?
No, I mean, absolutely.
I still remember some of my high school game lasts a lifetime. And I wouldn't want to take that from any individual. And then if you're fortunate enough to go to college, what you experienced and I experienced, those memories just last forever. And whether you win, lose, or draw, I mean, everybody want to win. Everybody. It ain't even more special when you win. But if you don't, it's just that experience of competing at a high level or competing with anybody. Because throughout your life, you're always going to compete with somebody.
Yep.
And so I think I tell young people and young, particularly young parents, let your kid play. I mean, once you teach them how to be safe, the game got safer. And go for it. It's a great game.
Well said, man. Hey, you talk about kids, your two sons, Justin and Grady. Talk about that experience of first watching both of them play in college and then seeing Grady with all the success he's having now with the Falcons. Obviously, they got some good genes. But just talk about the fulfillment you get watching your two sons play on the highest levels.
You know what? And I think you said it all right there, man. And I am so proud of both of them. You know, and sometimes you know, guys, some guys I played with and played against. I said, man, how do you get both your boys played in the NFL? You know what I mean? Both of them be professional athletes. Mm-hmm. And it was just so funny how they just loved the game. And you know, as kids, they were always competitive. Number one. And it's funny that sometimes as a parent, because I did this for a living, because I got pictures of Jared with me and Justin with me and Jessica with me, all of them sitting right there with me, you know, and we were walking on the field at a Falcon game. And obviously Justin is the oldest. And Jared actually, at this time, he was like 2 inches shorter than my daughter, Jessica. Now, who would have thought you fast forward 22 years from that and that he'll be an Atlanta Falcon and not only be a Falcon, but be one of the star players. And on that same field, he walked on when he was a kid and watched me play.
That's pretty cool.
You know, things like that, you don't take them for granted, you know. And I think the biggest, one of the things that I will always remember was, because, you know, Justin was a former quarterback that played, that made it to the NFL as a linebacker, and not many people can do that. You know what I mean? Can change over and do that. Went to Kansas State, the quarterback, come out as a linebacker, played for Houston Texans for 3 years. And I can remember, I think it was Justin last year with the Texans, they played the Falcons here in Atlanta.
Yep.
And, you know, he was starting in the rotation a little bit, and it was Jared rookie year. So he was sitting on the sideline some, but he was, you know, you know how you do the rookies, you know, he on the kickoff return team, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
All right. But he wasn't the star player that he is now. And so after the game, they exchanged jerseys, right?
Yeah.
And then also at that game, during the second quarter, they had a Jesse Tuggle day where they gave me, you know, made it my day right there, you know, and both of my sons was on both sidelines.
Wow.
And so
that's full circle there.
That was so special to me because, you know, they're both right there playing against each other. I'm there. And you know, I speak so highly of the Falcons because, you know, they didn't have to do that. But at the second quarter, they made a special announcement for me to come out there on the field. Mm. And that was, I thought that was real cool, man. You know, that was real cool. So you got a couple generations of my kids there that I'm there. So now, even now, with Justin up in the CFL, you know, he done been the one Grey Cup, been the two. And in the same time when the Atlanta Falcons went to the Super Bowl, Justin had just won the Grey Cup the year before. I'm like, what are my chances of my son in another country winning the Grey Cup? And then next year, within the following year, my other son win the Super Bowl. Think about that, man. Just for them to play in both of those are the biggest game in both of those countries.
Right.
And so it meant a lot to me, you know. And they're you know, they're best friends. You know, their brothers are best friends.
That's pretty cool.
And the coolest part, you know, they always text each other, you know, on that success they have, and there's no animosity there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They grew up in the same household, but at the same time, the love is still there. And it's cool. And I, you know, I can appreciate it all. Then, you know, then I got a daughter who I always tease and say, man, she was a boy. She'd been more athletic. She'll be better than both of y'all. So I've been fortunate enough, man, with the three of them just to, you know, because, you know, she played college tennis and, you know, she was two-time state champion in high school and track. So that's kind of stuff like that, you know, it's almost like a dream come true when an athlete, you know, have kids who are athletic and they're successful. And that's all, as a parent, it's all we want, you know. Mm-hmm. Even if they didn't get the opportunity to play in the pros, mm-hmm. you want them to be good, smart
people,
adults, and even off the field. I'm just proud of them off the field as I am with them, all the thing, all the accolades they accomplished on the field. And I think your fan base, they probably don't get to know and see like a lot of stuff with me and Grady or me and Justin. And it's because I live my life in the public life so much, and since I've been retired, you know, I let them do that thing. You know what I mean? And yeah. I just sit back yeah. and cheer from the press, you know, cheer from them from the suites.
Yeah, nothing wrong with that.
So that's pretty cool, man. I am, and I'm very happy and very proud of them. And nothing, both of them still got a long career ahead of them. So. I'm just hoping that we can get them Falcons back to the Super Bowl. Though that's my ultimate dream right now, because it's just like a parent or even a former player that played. When your team gets an opportunity to be successful, it's something inside of you that burns, just like it used to burn when you was a player.
Mm-hmm. You want it just as bad. You're right.
Exactly right. So all is good, man. I've been very fortunate, and plus to top it all off, EJ, and you know it's better than me. We're right at home, man. We live here.
Right.
Georgia is our home, man. And why not cheer on the Birds? And so I'm going to forever be not only an ex-Falcon, but a Falcon fan as well.
Awesome, man. You know what? Your story is one that, you know, I don't think, you know, a lot of people will look at it and say, man, I didn't know he went through so much. I didn't know he had all this going on. But it's great to see where you've gone in your life and the things that are important to you. And you can hear in your voice what's most important when we start talking about your kids. So that's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
Before I let you go, man, obviously, I want to ask you about some of the stuff you're doing now. I know about all the honey-do lists and, you know, you're getting your butt whooped by me in golf. But what else keeps Jesse the Hammer Tuggle busy these days?
You know what, man? You're not gonna believe this, but I'm a grandparent. I got a 2-year-old grandson.
Oh man, Granddaddy Hammer!
Awesome. Oh yeah, no doubt. and so I never thought being a grandparent would feel the way it feels. And we just spent 2 weeks with him and Justin at the lake.
Nice.
And it was awesome, man. You know, it's just so awesome. So I'm just fortunate enough that I'm able to do things physically and still mentally. And, you know, just to move around and enjoy life a little bit. You know, I like playing golf maybe once or twice a week. But mostly, I'm one of the laid-back people that you probably can imagine. You know, since my mom, I lost my dad. My mom still lives in Griffin. So, I get down there and see her, and I'm helping her out a lot. And so I'm just been in a position where I'm able to help a lot of people and just maintain – it's a regular lifestyle, man. You know, just enjoying life a little bit, doing nothing crazy. Still, I feel like I tell you, I'm a big Falcon fan, so I'm hoping this season we get kicked off. I know we're in some crazy times right now, but but I'm a big CFL fan too, because my son's up there. So I get the opportunity to look at these different sports, travel a little bit. You know, I tell you what, I have no complaints, man. I have no complaints. And my wife's doing well. My wife had open heart surgery a few years ago. She's doing great. You know, just awesome. Man, then I met a great doctor. We met a great doctor here. We became friends. It's just little things that you take for granted sometimes, you know, that you don't know how special it is. And then you meet the people who got extraordinary talents, just like you have on football field.
Right.
You know, my wife had a microbial replacement, and the best doctor in the world, not here in the Southeast, not here in Georgia, but the best doctor in the world lives right here in Atlanta. And then tell a quick story there. So when she was getting ready to do the mic, she had a robotic surgery. So when she got ready to do it, the doctor a week before she went in, she had to get to talk. When they went and had a consultation, we always sit and talk. And at the very end, the doctor says to me, he says, Jesse, I want to mention it to you, but, you know, I'm a big Falcon fan. I know it's not professional for me to get asked for an autograph, but, you know, it's pretty cool. I was like, Doc, are you kidding me? I want to ask you for an autograph.
Right,
you know
what
I mean?
Taking care of my wife like this.
I told him, it's only one superstar in this room, and it's you. What you do, not too many people in the world can do it. And so it make you appreciate it on both ends, right?
Yeah,
so,
man.
So just,
yeah.
You know, not only that, I think that relationship and that they'll come in, we just became friends after that. And it's been real cool, man. So, you know, all this stuff has a purse. And as I get older, you know, 55, now I feel that, you know, you learn to appreciate the little things, the smallest little thing, man, that you never thought, you know, things like beating you DJ in golf. And,
not happy.
You know, happen. Watching that sad face.
Lies.
In your car.
Stop with the lies, Jesse. Stop with the lies.
But on a serious tip, though, man, it's like developing friendship, like our friendship.
For sure.
It's incredible. Sure. You know, like every time I see you, you know, as a player, you know, now as a commentator, and even when I see you on commercials, you know, I was like, that's my boy right there. You know, you have a sense of pride, you know, when you watch your friends be successful.
No,
so with all that being said, man, so when you asked me to come on your podcast, man, you didn't have to ask me twice. You just called me up and say, hey, Hammer, hey, man, you be ready at 4:00, okay?
Hey, man, you know what, man? I appreciate you saying that. I appreciate you being on the show today. I mean, I know there's going to be tons of kids. There's going to be tons of adults who get a lot from what you said today, and I don't think a lot of people knew the story and some of the background stuff that you went through and also what made you who you are. I mean, College Football Hall of Famer. I mean, come on, man. One of the guys who did it with the best of them, one of the best middle linebackers to ever play the game, man. So I appreciate you jumping on with us and, you know, sharing some of those stories that, you know, I know a lot of people don't know about. So I've always said from day one, man, you've been a quality dude, quality friend, and I appreciate you coming on to the Triple Threat Podcast with your boy and talking to me. So I appreciate you, man, and thanks for joining us, man.
Hey, no doubt, man. Listen, I appreciate you as well, man. Hey, be safe. Let's get your calendar. Let's get out of and hit the ball a little bit, all right?
All right, Jess. Appreciate you, man. Man, thanks to my guy Jesse Tuggle for dropping in on us and dropping some gems on everybody today. Thank you for joining the Triple Threat Podcast. Remember, subscribe, follow, tell people to listen, share it, please. Triple Threat Podcast. I am DJ Shockley. We'll see you next week. Deuces.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.